I want to draw your attention to probably a central verse in the chapter, verse number 12. And central in the sense, not just geographically or, you know, chronologically, however you want to say that. But I think the thought that is there is really the thought that is the main emphasis of the chapter. And that is this statement in verse 12, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." And there's a couple of thoughts when you think upon that, meditate on that statement for a moment. We right away recognize that a nation is blessed when, and if I can put it in this way, the nation whose God is the right God, whose God is the Lord. Sadly, you know, many nations have many different gods. And I'm not sure today we could say with any confidence at all that the God of heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Lord of Canada. I don't know that we could say that. I would be very skeptical if we could say that. It seems to me that we have many other gods in this land. Mother Earth, of course, is something that many worship in the sense of, you know, environmentalism and so on. And I'm not, you know, denying climate change and all those kind of things. But we know as Christians that God is in control, right? It's not man, it's not nature, it's the Lord who created it, sustains it, and will continue to do so until he decides not to. But you know, Canada has made gods out of nature. We live in a naturally beautiful land. And truly, that is so. There's no question about it. And I appreciate it. I really do. I enjoy our environment here. I enjoy the beauty of the natural beauty of this province, and especially the Kootenays. But you know, many do worship nature. And they think about, and you know, you hear that term, Mother Earth, and so on. Multiculturalism is a god in Canada, which is to say that, you know, inclusiveness and social justice and these things, which, again, are not in themselves necessarily wrong, but they fill the place of God in people's lives. Because we are Canadian, because we look upon ourselves, you know, in a very favorable way, in the acceptance and in the, you know, the kindness that we show to those that are, you know, of other cultures, other this kind of thing, other backgrounds. And that's a good thing. I think we need to be kind and so forth. But what I'm trying to say is that we hold ourselves up sometimes as self-righteous. We feel as though because we are as we are very righteous, very holy. When in fact, there's much more to it than that, isn't there? As far as being right. Money, of course. Mother Earth, multiculturalism, money, the economy is something that drives so many all over the world. Merriment, we worship pleasure, amusement, entertainment, recreation. These things seem to be more valuable, more what we are all about in Canada other than about Christ, about God, about the truths of the Bible. And so I'm just saying this morning that the nation is blessed who has the right God. And we know in Canada there are many other gods, but you and I, we need to have the right God, the one true God, the only true God, which is the God of the Bible. We all agree on that? Amen? Okay. So he says, blessed is the man, blessed not the man, but this applies to men too. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the right Lord, the Lord of heaven and earth. And then the second thought I see in there is, blessed is the nation who's not only got the right God, but they allow God to be God. So in other words, whose God is the Lord? If you have the Lord, is he really God in your life? In other words, what I'm saying is the nation that is submissive to God, allowing him his rightful place, allowing him to rule in our lives, to be obedient, to be submissive to his will. That's the nation that's blessed, the nation who has the true God, and the nation that obeys and follows that true God. Are you with me? That's the nation that is blessed. Now, to be completely honest with you, I don't know of a nation on the earth that would fulfill all of that. There are some that, of course, are more inclined to that than others, but I don't know that we have a nation that would be totally defined in that way. But we need to pray for our land, that we would be a nation who would recognize the true God and would live in submission to that true God. I believe that's at the heart of this entire chapter, but we're going to go through the chapter and break it into only three categories, 3 points, and talk about the way that a nation is blessed. And so I want to give you a couple of thoughts, 3 thoughts as this unfolds in the chapter. We start off with the first 3 verses, which are really just a call to praise the Lord. And we need to praise the Lord. I think there's blessing in praising the Lord in worship, you know, that thanksgiving. And we should be thankful. We have much to be thankful for. And we need to recognize and give God honor and glory for those things to be thankful for. But really, our kind of our outline begins with verse number 4. And I'll give you this point, first of all. We are blessed by his commandments. A nation is blessed by his commandments. We are, individually and as families, as churches, we are blessed by the commandments of God. Notice in verse 4, he says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." And so, I want you just to think for a moment that with me on this thought, that the word of the Lord is perfect. And when it says the word of the Lord is right, that's an adjective that speaks of the character of God's word. It's upright, and that Hebrew word has basically the idea of uprightness, but also straight and righteous. It's factually right and true. We can agree on that. The Bible is factually right. Obviously, it's God's word, and God is, of course, infallible. God is truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He prayed in John 17, in verse 17, he said, "Father, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth." You remember Pilate asked Jesus the question, "What is truth?" A lot of people ask that question, "What is truth?" But like Pilate, they're not sure they really want to know the answer. The answer is very simple. The Word of God is truth, and it's truthful, all of His statements. The Bible also tells us that it's impossible for God to lie. So we know that it's true, and it's factual in all that it's all its statements, all its teaching, all of its everything that it says is true. It's also true, it's also perfect, it's also right, and it's, if I can put it this way, it's philosophically right. I don't really like the word philosophies so much, but if we get our philosophies from the Bible, they're going to be right. You see that? I mean, I have philosophies, or I don't know what you want to call them. I have things that I believe are good, things I believe are true and right. Some of those are just things that I kind of were built into me when, as I grew up. All of us have those things. As I grew up, one of the things, and I try to pass these on to my sons and my children sometimes because I think they're right. I'm a kind of guy that I hate litter. I pick up litter that I don't throw down. I pick it up all over the place because it just annoys me that there's, you know. Many of you know we do this newspaper job on Thursdays. We take the newspapers to the carriers, and then we take it to the boxes. And the boxes where you put newspapers in, there it's a free paper, they're right next to the mailboxes. And there's a lot of junk mail that comes to the mailboxes. Well, that junk mail ends up many times in the newspaper boxes. Lots of people seem to feel that's the place to put it, which is not really all that bad, to be honest with you, because there's always usually leftover newspapers, and I have to recycle them anyway. So I'll recycle your junk mail for that, okay? But many times that junk mail, or even sometimes the newspapers and the flyers, that gets all over the place. And in the wintertime, it's the worst because it's frozen and it's, you know, just it's a mess. But I stop, and when Josh and others used to work with me, I'm cleaning all this up, and they're always like, "Dad, why do you?" You know, I'm walking out in the field gathering all, and they're like, "Why do you? It's not your job to do all that." I said, "Well, that's just because it shouldn't be all over the ground, and it needs to be picked up, right?" That's just part of me. And so where does that come from? Well, I think my dad was that way, but also I was a Boy Scout. And, you know, in the Boy Scouts, we learn this, that you leave your campsite better than when you found it, right? Everybody learned that? Okay. Those are things that are just sort of in built into the fiber of my being. I'm an old school kind of guy. I feel that things like, for example, and if this is not the way you are, that's fine. It doesn't matter. This is just, you know, this is just me. I feel like the male members of the family should be the ones mowing the grass. We have a person in our neighborhood, and I'm not going to, I hope nobody can even figure out who I'm talking about. I don't think you would. But anyway, this person, he's a full-grown man, has a house, lives by himself. And I watched for years his 60-some, 70-some-year-old mother come over and mow his lawn. And that always would bug me. I thought, why is mom mowing this yard when this guy is sitting there drinking tea, you know, and things like that. And so those are just some things that, you know, were built into me. And I feel that they're right. Are you with me? Why am I telling you all that? Because as Christians, when we read the Bible, and the more we absorb the Bible, the more we study the Bible, the principles of the Bible, the things that the Bible teaches. Now, there's commandments that are clear, and we need to obey those commandments. But there's a lot of principles that are just sort of put in there, you know, that shape every area of your life. Our memory verse this week about he that would be greatest of all to be your servant, right? And that idea, that philosophy, or that just that concept of servanthood should become part of the fabric of our life. And the more we read the Bible, the more we study and meditate and learn the scriptures, those things get into us and they become what make us who we are. Are you with me? And those things are right, and they bring blessing. You see, the reason why our nation, and of course, most of you know I was born in the United States, and so a lot of my historical upbringing and stuff is American history. And so I you have to forgive me for referring to that on Canada Day, but you know, learning these things in America, I learned about the Christian heritage of our land. And those things were just sort of woven through the fiber of that nation and brought blessing to that land. And I think the same thing could be said in Canada. That the Christian heritage from even our European ancestors and so forth, especially, and I don't know everybody's ancestry and, you know, what background, some come from a Christian background, some from not. But I'm saying those things that are biblical got into the fiber of our country and really did bring, and we still are enjoying today, the blessings of that. Because they're right. When we see the scriptures, the principles, and so, we're thinking in terms of our nation today, but I want you to know in your home, if you apply and you just look into the scriptures and you let these things, and again, some of it's very clear cut. Some of it is kind of, there's things that shape my life that I think are biblical principles that I would have a hard time really articulating exactly, because sometimes my kids, they challenge me on these things, well, why do you believe that way? And I have to, sometimes it takes me a lot of talking to really bring to the surface all the underlying biblical principles that are under it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You could ask me, why do I feel it's wrong to gamble? And I'd have to, there's no clear verse. I can't just say, go to John, 15, verse 34, and it says, thou shalt not gamble. That's not in there. But there's principles that we could, bring from the scriptures. I bring that up because somebody just won $1 million over there. But anyway, the truth is there's principles that I just feel that's not the way God wants us to be a steward of our money or to earn our living. And I'm just trying to give you examples to help you understand what I'm trying to say. But the principles of the Bible are right. They're true. And when we let them guide our homes and our land and our lives, we find that blessing is there. The Word of God is perfect. The Word of God is, I'll just quickly give you my outline. The Word of God is practical. And we're to be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, verse 28, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. Now again, this is a U.S. thing, but in 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the following prayer, often prayed in public schools, unconstitutional. Let me ask, some of you, I don't remember praying in school publicly, 1962. I'm old, but I'm not that old, so I don't remember that. But is there anybody here, you remember praying in school in Canada? Okay, good. Hey, some younger than me. Wow. Maybe Canada kept it longer. Good for you guys. This was a prayer. Apparently, this was a common prayer. It said this, Almighty God, we acknowledge our dependence upon Thee, and we beg Thy blessing upon us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. But in 1962, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that unconstitutional. And so they no longer could do that. In 1963, a year later, they rendered another decision to remove Bibles from the public school. And really, this is, all you got to do is you can look this up. Statistically, you can see the moral decline in America, especially, from 1962-63 till today. And it's still true. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Biblical principles are right. They're true, they're practical, they're perfect, and they're also powerful. If you notice verse 6 in our text, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. All the way down to verse 9, it talks about the power, the awesome power of God's word. Now God is omnipotent, His ability to bring anything to pass that He wills. He speaks and it was done, right? We see that in so many cases. The most obvious is creation, as it mentions here. God said, let there be light, and there was light. We know that, God spoke the worlds into existence. So His word is powerful. I think of New Testament examples, when the man came to Jesus and said, my daughter is homesick, or they sent somebody saying, this, I think he was a centurion or something, And he came back and he said this to the Lord. You remember? He said, "Lord, I'm not worthy of you to come into my house. Just speak the word and it'll be done." And that's all Jesus had to do. And so, God's will. When God utters something, all nature must obey it. When God speaks His word, we are responsible to obey it. And when we do, it's powerful in our life. So God's word. So I'm saying, first of all, we are blessed. A nation is blessed by the commandments of the Lord, by the word of God. In Isaiah 55, verse 11, I'll give you this and then we'll move forward. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me," what? "Void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." So, I hope you get the point. God will only bless that which is in accordance with His word. Now, number two, not only are we blessed by His commands, we're blessed by His control. In verses 10 to 19, he talks about really the not just the omnipotence, but the omniscience of God. And we'll get into that. But this is, of course, referring to the nation of Israel. Israel is a nation because of the providential working of God in a man's life named Abraham. Right? God called Abraham and brought him out of the land he grew up in to a new land, and he said to Abraham, "I will make of thee a great nation." And out of that promise and out of God's sovereign working in this one man's life, today exists and has for centuries and centuries the nation of Israel. I don't know how maybe to prove this, but I would say that Canada is a nation today because of the will of God. I believe God's in control of the world, and He raises up nations and puts down nations. And we don't know all the. It's hard to say. You know, I know sometimes we're today especially very sensitive about colonization and all these sort of things. But the truth is, God has brought about a nation called Canada. And you and I get the privilege of being a part of it. And it is a good country. I mean, we live a standard of living far better than many. And we should be very grateful for that. We should be very thankful for that. I think we're living on borrowed blessings from generations in the past many times. But the Bible tells us, look down at verse 10. He says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect." So here we see that the Lord is conscious of the nation and their decisions. Now God has given us a free will and therefore a choice. And that means that we are accountable for those choices. That's true individually. That's true collectively as a country. A nation that obeys God, honors the Lord, finds His blessing. I put down in my notes, I've got to get back to this outline. The Lord's behavior toward those who rebel against His word, that's verse 10 and 11. We'll get to this one in a minute. The Lord's blessing upon those who respond to His word. So here we read that the Lord frustrates, or the Lord confounds, the Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. I think of one illustration of that in the Bible. In Genesis chapter 11, you remember after the flood, the people gathered around a place and they built a tower. Remember that? Tower of Babel? And interesting, this is quite an interesting thing. I copied out the scripture. Listen to this. They said this in Genesis 11:4. They said, "Go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, now listen to this last phrase, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Now in verse number 7 of that chapter, it says this. God says, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off building the city. The very thing that they were building this tower for, remember what they said, that lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth? But what happened to them? God scattered them abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Because what they were doing, I don't even really understand all the implications of what they were doing. But what they were doing, obviously God saw, was wicked, or was going to lead to a great wickedness, a rejection of God. I think it was part of man building this tower and exalting himself and turning away from God. This is pretty immediate, really, after the flood. So what had happened before the flood is that the heart of man was only evil continually, and they were, you know, the world, the society of man had corrupted themselves so much, God had to send a flood. And I think that same corruption was starting to pick up speed again. And God said, I got to slow this down, because I'll confound their language and scatter them around, and they won't be able to get in trouble so fast. You know, I got to separate these guys here, you know, like in classrooms, because they're bad news to one another. And so I'm saying God can confound, God can turn upside down the plans of men. God is in control. And with that in mind, when we think about the blessings of our country, we must acknowledge where these have come from. We must acknowledge that it's God, and God has allowed us to be here. You didn't even choose to be born into this land. Now, some of you maybe have immigrated here like I did. But some of you were born here. And that wasn't your choice, was it? But aren't you glad you were? And you can acknowledge and say, God, I could have been born in Iraq. I could have been born in the Sudan. I could have been born anywhere. But by God's mercy and grace in your life, you were born here. And God's control and God's working, and God is going to we see his behavior toward those that rebel, but his blessings upon those that respond. Verse number 12. Is this verse, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen, that's part of his control, for his own inheritance. Now he holds us accountable for decisions, and he can work all things together for good. Listen to this verse, and I'll move forward. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. Now that's specifically written to Israel, but the principle, I think, applies to all of us. The Lord is controlling the nations and their destinies. So, let's move to the third point. We have been blessed by the commandments of God, right? The Word of God. We've been blessed by the control, the providence of God working in our land, in our lives. And we've also been blessed by His compassion. Now, I'm skipping quite a lot forward, but go to verse number 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. His guardianship that provides safety. His compassion is seen in the safety he brings. Listen to some of these verses in Psalms. Psalms 5 says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Have you ever prayed like that? You ever feel like, Lord, you're my shield. You're my protection. You're my refuge. I felt that way. I felt the need for a refuge. I felt the need for protection of God in different ways, whether it's spiritual, physical, emotional. We have a refuge. We have a shield. We have a buckler, a high tower, all these terms that the psalmists use for God. Because David, of course, was one of the psalm writers, wrote many of the psalms, and his life was often threatened. His life was in peril many times. And every time he recognized that my safety, my protection, my refuge is in God. How many of you felt that way too? Amen? You can go to the Lord, and when you pray and you just recognize that God's watching over, God's keeping me safe. As our family has grown, and now, you know, they're scattered around, at least the daughters are away, and most of you know my daughter Sarah, and they're traveling, and of course, I never even understood this, but somehow being a grandpa is really a different thing. I think about them all the time. And I think to myself, if anything happens to them, it's going to kill me. I wouldn't be able to stand it, I don't think, if they ever got hurt, you know. So I'm praying for them a lot. You know, they travel because Andrew and Sarah have been driving clear across the country in an old big boat of a car, an Oldsmobile 88, a big giant thing. So at least they have some protection, I guess, around them. But the point is this. I can't be there to protect them, right? But I have a Father who watches over them. And I have a God who cares. And so His compassion, many times we call on the mercy of the Lord. How many times have you had to pray, Lord, I don't deserve this, but You're merciful, and I know I can ask it because of the mercy of God. And so the Lord is, we read in here, you know, He said a horse is a vain thing for protection. Armies don't protect us. We're not saying, you know, those that have fought for our country, we appreciate that and so on, the freedoms we have. But we know that it's ultimately of God. Our protection, our guardianship. And so His guardianship provides our safety. And then last of all, His grace provides salvation. Look at verse 21. For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Did you know something? Listen carefully and I'm going to close. If you have trusted in His holy name, what is His holy name? Well, in Romans it says it like this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. If thou shalt believe, it says, what's verse 9? Romans 10:9. I got to turn to it because my old brain is not pulling it up. But he says, here it is. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if your heart has put its trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can rejoice. Your heart is secure. Your soul is secure. Your salvation is secure. Your eternity is secure. Your eternal destiny. Because it's in Christ. That's salvation. Salvation means that we recognize we're sinners. And as sinners, we're going to die. The wages of sin is death. As sinners, when we die without Christ, we're lost for eternity. The Bible says there's a place called hell, a lake of fire. And that's for those sinners who have not been cleansed by the blood of Christ. So when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, I have eternal life today. I have the assurance of salvation of heaven, not because I'm a Baptist, not because I'm a preacher, not because I think I'm a good person. It's because Jesus Christ has saved me. He has cleansed me. All my trust, all my hope, all of my security is in Him. I'm depending on Him. That's what it means to believe. I'm depending. My trust is in Him. My hope is in Him. Without Him, I have no hope. Without Him, I have no assurance. Without Him, I don't have salvation. But because I have Jesus Christ by faith, my heart is secure. My salvation is secure. And so that's not just for me, that's for all of us. Anybody whosoever, the Bible, look at, if you turn to Romans 10, look at verse 13. He says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So, my friends, listen, if you're not saved today, the blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. You have to have the right Lord. Who is your Lord? Is it Christ? And then we are saved by faith in Christ, and the blessings of Christ come to us when we are obedient to Christ, when He is our God and we are submissive to His will, because He is the one who has the power to confound the wicked and to exalt the righteous. He is the one who is providentially blessing us. He's the one whose word is perfect and brings blessing. So we need to walk with Him. And that's true of you and me, and we pray that our nation would learn the same truths. Because the fact is that Canada, the United States, many of these countries with Christian backgrounds are forsaking, and their morals, we could talk about the news, all of the evidence of the curse of those who forsake God. We're seeing that come to pass in our land today. And so I hope you'll join with me and pray for this country. They hoped to legalize recreational marijuana by today. Thankfully, it's a few months down the road, but it's still coming. And such decisions continually taking us in a path that goes away from God. And it's a sad thing. Because we know blessing comes from obedience, we also know going away from that is not good. It doesn't lead to a good place. And so let's pray for our land. Let's be a witness in our community. And let's be faithful ourselves. Let's stand.